of the book Fostering Faust by Randy Darin. We won't go through all the dedications. Let's start with chapter one. Alexander looked around the room and found that everything was gray. The walls, the chairs, the table, the wooden roof, the stone floor. Additionally, everything had a misty quality to it. Nothing felt tangible or real. Hollow, even. Holding up a hand in front of himself, he stared into it. Lifting his other hand, he touched them together, or tried to at least. His fingers slipped through his own flesh and came out the other side. "Surprise, you're dead," said a female voice. Alex spun around and tried to pin down where the voice was coming from. "I'm not sure you'll be able to find me by looking like that. I'm not dead, or even there," said the voice.
"Maybe you should join me then. Talking to thin air isn't helping me," Alex said.
"What if I already have?" asked the voice, much louder, and from the center of the room. Turning to face the speaker, Alex found himself staring at not much more than a darkened shadow. "Do forgive me, but I think it's best if I keep myself in a simpler form. It's not like you'll die of shock or anything, but you mortals tend to have problems when I show up in my normal form. You have a tendency to not believe what I say," said the gloomy, taunting figure. Frowning, Alex stared hard at it.
"You said I was dead."
"I did indeed. Yes, it isn't every day you can scratch the inside of your own hand," Alex said, demonstrating his fingers going through his other hand. "So, how did I die?" "Heart attack. Middle of the night. You pissed yourself, crapped your pants, and your maid found you 2 days later. Several lovely photos got out and were plastered all over the internet. No kids, no wife, no friends. You were buried the next day and no one who cared attended."
"Grand," Alex said, nonpulsed. He'd always assumed that'd be his end. Didn't make a bit of difference to him.
Moving to the table, he pulled out one of the chairs and tried to press his hand against the seat. It felt solid. "Please, do have a seat. This conversation would be much easier if I didn't have to raise my voice. Quicker, too. And time is important right now." "I'm not sure how long my husband will be distracted, and I'd love to strike a bargain before he returns," said the dark wraith.
"Your husband? A bargain?" Alex said, asked rather,
sitting down in the chair. "Indeed, I'm a married woman with a loving husband. I'd happily pull your guts out and use them to jump rope if he asked me to. I'd pull your liver out and devour it if that was what he wished," the wraith said, her voice breaking and going up an octave and then down two. "Got it. She's crazy." Clearing her throat, she patted the table in front of her. "Yes, but a bargain. You're dead. And
on your way to the deepest, darkest, nastiest corner of your universe's hell.
What? Alex asked, alarmed. Why? I never did anything seriously wrong. Never hurt a single person in my life.
You're right. You didn't. But there's a problem for you when it comes to responsibility. You see, you were a... what was it? Chief Operations Officer?
Yes, yes I was, Alex said, his heart beating hard in his chest at the idea of going to hell. How do I even feel a heartbeat? Aren't I dead? He thought.
Yes, you really are dead. You feel a heartbeat because your mind is telling you to feel it. Anyways, while you were working as COO, you pushed through a certain technology that wasn't quite ready. One that allowed the minds of your users to work in a virtual environment, and it at a speed much faster than normal thought could work at, the Shade said. It was a technological breakthrough for the white-collar industry, allowing for much more work to be completed in half the time.
Yeah, it made the company, and it made me.
That it did. And so here you are, the Wraith said, chortling.
I don't understand.
Part of the reason it was held up in development was because it tested poorly with some people. In cases of weaker minds and extreme usage, the minds were digitized. Directly loaded into the computers they were tied to, except that when it happened, the subjects went comatose, never to waken. The bodies left behind were husks, empty.
Alex nodded. He remembered when they'd found the first test subject in such a state.
You'll remember you put lockout controls on the system in case people tried to tamper with it, turning it into a high-tech, room-sized paperweight. Then you pushed the project. The Wraith said. She made a gesture with a shadowed hand, as if shoving something along.
Yes. We had them sign agreements, put warnings on it, and a lockout. They had to take the risk if they wanted to utilize the tech.
And,
oh, goodness.
Pardon? And yet, the lockout you put on it was very simple. So basic that anyone with a bit of time and a stray thought could circumvent it. Because you didn't allow any time to develop it. You deemed it an acceptable risk that would be out of your hands with the agreement you slapped on the whole thing. And a risk others could take if they chose. The shadow continued. Those people who digitized themselves, at least a million at the time of your death, were all considered murdered. Those souls that showed up in the computer, that everyone thought were actual people, just a part of a computer program, a complex one, but a program. Your engineers will figure that out in a decade or so. Much, much too late for you, though. The shadow tilted its head to one side. Alex had the feeling. It was staring at him, gauging his reactions.
He felt nothing. He already knew where she was going with this. There was no surprise.
After being told even his heartbeat was false, Alex had managed to focus his entire being on controlling his soul, as he was now thinking of it. Alex was a stone, an uncaring one. His previous life mattered little to him. It'd been a contest of wealth in the end. He could say that since he was here amounted to nothing. Yes, this entire problem we've been discussing was declared the reason for their deaths. That perhaps with a bit more effort on your part, they might have understood what they were doing. Which leaves you with the blame, hence going to hell with a one-way ticket. I hear they even pulled up some heavy hitters just for you. Some real nasty pieces of work they keep on hold for the truly ugly souls. Let's talk about the bargain, Alex said, changing the subject. I like that. Quick to decide and not even a word of argument. Yes, my bargain then. It's simple. I want to send you to another universe, another world. Well, you'll be my agent, your goal. Is to gather power for me. That's it, said the Wraith.
Too simple. Give me some details, or I'll take the demons, Alex said, staring into the dark shroud.
You mean that, too.
Fine, fine. All right, then. The details are...
Oh, oops. That would be the wrong person. Fine, fine. All right, then. The details are equally simple. I'm a goddess of darkness and deals. Simply put, you'll have someone swear on my name for a deal, and I'll gain power. If the deal is skewed in your favor, I'll gain even more power. Please keep in mind that all deals must be voluntary, made without coercion. That's it, really. My name on the world in question is Leia.
Okay, Leia. Again, what you're describing is too simple. There must be more.
The shroud stood up suddenly, looking up and to the side at something only she could see. Husband, dearest, my love, the shade whispered, shivering. He's coming back. Coming back for me and my sisters. I hope I'm first.
The shade's head snapped towards him again.
Choose now, or I'll toss you out faster than a used rubber. I'll not waste a second with you that I could spend with him, the shadow commanded.
I accept. Now, in a flash, the shadow enveloped him. The world of gray was gone, replaced with a world of hissing, screaming, stabbing, violent darkness. Murder most foul. Oh, I'm sending you with a crystal to measure your progress. When it's as dark as night and no light can shine through it, you'll have made enough deals to fulfill your obligation for the month. Came the Wraith's voice. The world I'm sending you to is a real crapsack world, too. They'll eat you alive if you let them. It's kill or be killed. Show no mercy. And don't fuck up.
It's not supposed to do that. Alex opened his eyes, then shut them quickly, as light blinded him.
Shit, he muttered.
Oh? Wake up. Waking up, are you?
Said a man's voice. Good. Sooner you wake up, sooner we can figure out how to get out of this death trap.
Death trap? Alex repeated.
Eh?
Alex pried his eyes open again. The light didn't hurt as badly this time, but it still made his eyes water. He was lying on what looked to be a rotten wooden floor.
The worn boards had been improperly shaped. They bent and bowed, giving him a view of what could only be grass beneath. Lifting his head, he looked around. Grassland stretched as far as he could see. He was in a cage, in a line of cages. They all seemed to have wheels and were moving in a train-like fashion. Managing to lever himself up to a sitting position, Alex felt like he wanted to puke. His head hurt quite a bit. Reaching up, he felt around his skull. Behind his right ear, he found a rather large lump. "They gave you quite the thumping, huh?" Alex looked at the speaker. He was an unassuming man dressed in ratty clothes with brown hair and blue eyes. "I guess so. I can't remember," Alex said. He looked down at himself. He'd just been with Leia, and now he was here. She hadn't told him how he'd be arriving, or even his status. The clothes he had on looked identical to what the other man was wearing. "Great. That's great. They shove you in here and told me not to touch you, or they'd beat me to death. Then ran off. You must be someone worth a copper or two, otherwise they'd have shoved you in with the rest." "I'm a merchant," said the man. "I'm worth a ransom," indicating the other cages. Alex looked to the nearest cage. It was practically full to bursting with people. "Okay, so I'm someone of import, though we're not sure in what regard." "Could have really used some more details, Leia," he thought to himself. A commotion broke out far up ahead. It sounded like shouts and someone banging on pots and pans. Banging them together. "Ho! This might be our chance," said the man. "If only..." A man Alex hadn't noticed went sprinting by. He must have been hiding between the cages. "There we go. I figured there was one watching just in case. You really are worth a sack of gold, it seems," said the man. "Right. Here's the plan. You boost me up. I knock the roof off, and then I open the gate." Alex wasn't quite sure about that plan, but he didn't have anything better to suggest. "Fine. Hands together, then, and give us a lift," said the man. Complying, Alex laced his fingers together and knelt down. The other man put one foot into Alex's hands and looked up at him. "On three and up." Alex nodded his head. "One, two, three." Alex lifted and shoved, pushing the man up. Bits of what he assumed were the roof material started to rain down on him as the man worked above. "Ha! I got it! Up we go!" The man lifted out of Alex's hand. Stepping back, he looked up to see how it was going. Wedged in the opening, the man was already wiggling his way out. It was obvious he'd be out in a matter of seconds. "Ah! Thanks for that. Sorry to do this, but I don't have any way to actually open the gate. Good luck and all that," said the merchant. Alex stared at the man's backside, uncomprehending. It wasn't until the man had both feet on the edge of the cage that Alex realized he was being left behind. Pure anger flooded him as he realized his mistake. He had been trusting someone else. He'd learned that lesson long ago in his other life. He might be done with that life and planning to never look back, but he'd remember those hard-learned lessons. The chief amongst them, never trust anyone. With a shout, Alex slammed his body into the side of the cage, rocking it violently to one side, flailing his arms. The merchant shrieked and fell backward, breaking through the roof. He crashed to the ground, back inside the cage.
Gasping for breath, the merchant struggled to his hands and knees. Perfect. Alex took two steps, planted the third on the man's shoulders, and leapt up towards the hole. Missing his target, he crashed through the top, lost his balance, and flipped out the other side, landing in the grass with a thump. Ha! That worked. Even if not as planned. Getting up quickly, far quicker than he could remember, getting up in his old life, with his aching back and hips, Alex looked back at the cage. "Wait, wait," the merchant pleaded. Pressing himself to the bars, he smiled at Alex. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. It was only a joke, a bad joke on my part, but a joke." "That's all. Help me out of here."
"Sure. Sure, of course," Alex promised easily. "This will be a great chance to test how far Leia's contracts go. I'll need you to strike a deal with myself and my god, though. Make sure you don't betray me."
"You want me to swear on a god's name?"
asked the man.
"That's right. To swear on a god's name that you'll do everything I ask until I get you out of the cage, so we can get out fairly and cleanly. My part is to swear I'll do everything I can to get you out of that cage," Alex said. Ah. The sounds from the front of the cage train were getting louder. "You don't have to do this. It'll be your choice, and your choice alone. Though, to be fair, time is of the essence. More guards might come from the rear or back from the front. At that point, I'll not be able to help you."
"Fine. Yes, I swear it. What's your god's name?"
"Leia," Alex said, looking around in each direction. He wasn't going to get caught if he could help it. "I'll have you swear on her name on pain of losing your soul."
"Leia, and my soul?"
The merchant shrieked. Whimpering, he nodded his head regretfully. Unless he wanted to take his chances with the bandits, the merchant didn't have much choice.
"I swear on Leia that I'll do everything you tell me to until we escape, on the condition that you will do everything to get me out of here," said the merchant.
"I swear on Leia that I'll get you out of the cage one way or another," Alex said, shaking the man's hand. Alex didn't see anything, and it didn't feel wrong. Actually, now that he thought about it, he felt a sense of correctness.
"Great, great. So how are you going to get me out?
For a moment, Alex considered the possibilities. There were a number of things he could do to get the man out. In fact, he didn't doubt he could probably use this man and get a considerable amount of effort from him. Except that he'd already betrayed Alex once. And bargains don't go unpunished. Betrayals don't go unpunished. Looking around the ground, Alex found a branch as wide and as long as his arm. Picking it up, he wedged it between the bars and snapped it in half. Inspecting both ends, he found one with a definite potential to be used as a crude spear. "Here, don't reveal where I went or tell anyone about this, and use this to kill yourself. Probably stab yourself right here," Alex said, indicating where he thought the arteries were in his neck. "Once you're dead, they'll probably toss your body out. I'll be responsible for getting you thrown out of the cage because you'll be dead. This will complete my side of the bargain." The merchant shrieked at him, trying to stab him with the stick. "There was never any agreement to get you out alive. Don't blame me for making a bad deal. If only you hadn't tried to leave me behind, eh? Have fun debating between your soul and your life," Alex muttered. Jogging off to one side, Alex got low in a decent-sized patch of grass and pretended to be a hole in the ground. The merchant struggled with himself for several seconds, then tossed the stick to one side. "Giving up your soul, then? Good luck with that." An hour passed before the train of cells suddenly started moving forward again. No one came back to check on them. Alex waited quietly in the brush at the end of the line of cages that looked to be a baggage cart, guarded by a single man with a short sword. He looked rather nervous, considering no one had come to the back to talk about what had happened at the front, and it wasn't surprising. Alex would have been unnerved himself in that situation. When the last cart rolled past, Alex got to his feet and slunk over behind it, only stopping to pick up a stone as big as a baseball. As quietly as he could manage, he slithered up the back and over the top of the cart, with the guard directing all his attention towards the front. He didn't hear Alex. In fact, Alex went completely unnoticed. Right up until he cracked the guard in the head with the stone, stopping to steal everything worth anything and some better clothes. Alex loaded himself up, even going as far as to fill a backpack full of vegetables. He also made sure to take anything that looked like paperwork. It might give him a clue as to anything about this place. Worst case, toilet paper. Setting off back the way he'd come, with a full backpack full of stuff, he started his new life. Out with the old and in with the new. Wow. One moment. We might have to dub this little piece out, I think. My computer's going to sleep. There's a way to keep it from going to sleep, but I don't remember where to click it. Alrighty. Chapter 2. Alex grunted and tried again, struggling with a bar of metal in one hand and the back of a knife in the other. Failure was his life. He was fighting with himself as much as with the tool. He wasn't even sure if he was doing it right. "You're not doing it right," Leia said as she appeared on the opposite side of him. Her sudden appearance startled him, causing him to drop what he thought was flint straight into the tinder pile. "Considering I've been trying this for about an hour, I imagined I was," Alex muttered. After fishing the flint out of the pile, he gestured at it. "Care to help me out then? Because at this rate, you might as well kill me. I have no idea where I am, what's going on, or even how to survive out here. I'm no woodsman." "I'm a glorified desk jockey and phone hook," Alex said angrily. "You're not wrong. I did send you off rather abruptly, but I'll not apologize for that. Nothing stands between me and my husband." "Oh, and where is he then? I didn't think I'd see you again." "He's asleep. He spent some time with each of us and then passed out. Now, as to my being here, you're right. I normally wouldn't. But you already sent a soul my way in the first day. That felt like something worth rewarding for having been here less than it took to take a crap." "Oh, and be sure and dig the crystal out of your pack and put it somewhere safe. It's already quite black. So you're paid up for the month, she said, and because you did so well, I'll provide you with some guidance. Head south. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, by the way. Reach the city of Britt. Announce yourself as Alexander Britt, and the rest will be solved for you. Don't worry about not knowing anyone. I'll fill in the blanks as needed. Alex sighed, nodding his head. At least he had a direction now. Great. Any chance you could... He stopped when he realized she was already gone.
Help me with the fire, he finished,
grumbling to no one. He gave up on it and got as comfortable as he could. He just hoped it wasn't going to get cold tonight. That'd be great. Freeze to death just as I start to figure out what the hell is going on. Up ahead, two guards were dressed in what looked like rigid leather armor. Alex really wasn't quite sure since, well, he knew very little about arms and armaments. They appeared to be outfitted in what he could only assume were the local colors and guards' expectation. Behind them, a rather large wooden palisade stretched on and on for quite a while. Between two large wooden towers was an open gate. Inside that gate lay what looked like a scene from any number of fantasy movies. Houses, people, streets, it all looked like a documentary. Well, so long as you added about 10 pounds of dirt to everyone and everything. It looks rather unhealthy, he thought. With any luck, I can get this squared away and... maybe get some information. Maybe even a shower and a clean set of clothes. Not completely impossible, given that my family name is the name of the city. I imagine I might be in the leading family. Son of the... whatever. Maybe. Nephew? Son-in-law? Cousin? Stop right there and declare yourself, a guard said when Alex got close enough. Taking a breath, Alex looked up to the guard who'd confronted him. I'm Count Britt! You're safe! The second guard said, bowing low to him immediately. Apparently I'm a count. The count. Sounds like they didn't know where I was. The guard who'd challenged him bowed immediately after the second.
We can use this. If we're the count and we control everyone... Could we support a Leia is the one to swear on type of campaign? Let's get everything set up on the assumption that, yes, we can, and go from there. And then,
before Alex had time to react, a contingent of soldiers broke out of the tower door he'd noticed, freezing up like a deer in headlights. Alex didn't move as they rushed towards him. They came into formation around him and then closed in, pressing him tight between them. The guards at Alex's sides secured him physically, and suddenly he was being hustled into the city. People were shoved out of the way. The soldiers moved at a pretty fast pace, more or less carrying Alex along at this point. Houses that resembled hovels went by quickly, replaced by houses that were clearly elevated in station. The buildings kept growing ever larger as he was rushed along. Alex couldn't help but wonder at the obvious disparity. Having classes is a positive thing, I would say. It's the gap between that causes problems, the disparity. As they raced him up along a boulevard, he finally had an idea where they were taking him. At the end of the boulevard was what he could only mentally label as a castle. It was a large, impressive thing made of stone. Towers dotted its length, very clearly manned. No sooner had they rushed him up to the gate entrance, the guards fell away. A new set of guards, dressed in chainmail and simple metal breastplates, replaced the first set. Alex was pressed tightly into the center and whisked away ever deeper into the city. Not fighting or even considering resisting, Alex did his best to avoid being a burden. He was fairly certain they were doing this out of fear for his safety, but no one ever made it without having a healthy amount of caution. In no time at all, Alex found himself in what was clearly a keep, a stone monstrosity that rose up in a secured location inside the wall. Not bothering to keep up with what was going on, Alex only paid attention when the guards suddenly peeled away from him. Standing in a richly appointed bedroom, he watched as maids and servants scurried out the door. The guards all bowed and exited as quickly as they'd rushed him in. All was silent as Alex was suddenly alone in what he assumed was his bedroom. A set of clothes was laid out on the bed, and fresh fruit and cheese on the table. Alex said briefly, inspecting the room. Hello? No one was there. Frowning, Alex went over to the clothing that had been laid out and lifted the tunic up. Turning slightly, he saw himself in the mirror for the first time. A green-eyed, brown-haired Alex Britt stared back at him. Alex was apparently young in years, perhaps mid-20s to early 30s. Despite looking disheveled, he was clearly handsome and had a good physique, if without obvious muscle. Before he could do anything else, the door swung open, and several men came in. "Count Britt," said the older gentleman in the center, bowing as soon as he spoke, and in a voice in his head, "Walter Krill, Chamberlain." I believe that's where the next chapter begins.